welcome to the Rethink Leadership podcast, available on all platforms, including YouTube, if you prefer to watch. My name is Jeremy Blaine, CEO of Performance Works International, Executive Director of the Transformational Leadership Acceleration Institute, and Managing Partner of Diversity Talent. My aim is to bring insights from leaders, experts, and highly talented professionals from around the world. Insights, stories, and advice from the front lines of modern leadership to engage, inspire, and mobilize progress back in the workplace. Every episode is a learning opportunity for us all. The Rethink Leadership podcast also supports charities around the world. Each episode is in aid of a cause chosen by my guests, and to date, I'm proud to say we've supported over 60 global and local great causes. Welcome to this episode of the Rethink Leadership podcast with my guest Brenda Harrington, a certified executive coach and the founder of the Adaptive Leadership Strategies company. She works with leaders globally across all sectors and is a staunch advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion everywhere. In fact, Brenda has spent more than 30 years in the private sector in positions ranging from first line management right through to senior executive leadership. And she's countless first-hand experiences with issues around DE&I, both explicit and implied. So in her coaching practice, some of the circumstances she encounters involving this mirror experiences she's been aware of for many years. And in her own words, when all you hear is that you can't and that you shouldn't, chances are that you don't and won't. And in many cases, can't means can, and shouldn't often means yes, you should. We dive into this further and understand what it means for leaders to embrace adaptive, diverse, and inclusive strategies to accelerate success. Hello, Brenda. Thanks very much for joining me. Please introduce yourself, potted history of your really impressive career, and tell us something about yourself that not many people might know.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. So I am currently in year 12 of my executive coaching practice, Adaptive Leadership Strategies, LLC, and I'm really excited to have been able to make this pivot, if you will, after about 35 years or so in private industry. I came to the realization that after many twists and turns, that once we get the people part right in the workplace, amazing things are possible. And so I decided that that's how I wanted to spend the latter part of my career. And I'm very grateful to have been able to bring that to fruition.
Right. And what about something that not many of us will know about you, Brenda?
Something that not many of people know. Okay. Well, there are two things that people find unusual, I guess. One thing is that in this day and age, my driving preference is to drive a car that has manual transmission. And so to this day, I drive a stick shift, hard to find, but I still do and enjoy. And the other thing is that as a matter of exercise, one of the things that I have brought forward from my childhood is jumping double dutch.
Is that the game, the double dutch game?
It's jumping rope with two ropes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, great. And you still did it. So that's these days it's more keep fit, is it?
Yes. And to have some fun, you know, to see how much I can push myself.
I really like how you open this around what your business is about and that point that you made about getting the people part right, this human-centered approach to leadership, which is so important these days. But going right back to, if you like, the purpose of your business, I'd like to get under the skin of how you define an adaptive leadership strategy. And why is that so important for leaders today in this fast-paced, unpredictable landscape?
So I'm going to answer the second part of that question first, why it is so important today. And the short answer is VUCA, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. We are in unprecedented times when it comes to just the pace of change, the type of change, the types of things that we are almost assaulted with on a daily basis as leaders. And so the reason that it is so important to adopt an adaptable mindset, I'll say, is because we've got to be willing to be curious, to pivot, to to be nimble and to really respond in a meaningful way to the things that we're responsible for, both when we're talking about the financials and the balance sheet, and when we're talking about the people that we need to assemble to do what we need to do to carry out our objectives. I become very concerned, Jeremy, when I hear people lean on best practices and talk about things that have been tried and true solutions and things like that. Not that there's not a place for those things, but I think that we've got to find a balance in order to be effective as modern leaders in the 21st century.
I couldn't agree more. We have to be agile and adaptive in strategy, agile and adaptive in actions taken, because it's the implementation piece which makes the difference. And I do have to smile when you talk about those best practices. It's something I talk about a lot, is that there is room for the greatest hits of leadership, but so much has changed out there that there is lots of new knowledge, skills and behaviors that need to be adopted in this VUCA world, as you call it. And in fact, I've added a D to that. I call it now the VUCAD world, distributed or dispersed, D, whatever you want to call it. But because it's having such a profound effect on business transformation and leaders. But I couldn't agree more with your sentiments there. It does feel like there are so many moving parts, though, when you get under the skin of being an adaptive leader. There's digital workforce transformation, there's the leader's own learning curve, uncertainty, the new things just around the corner like Web3 and the metaverse. So what are the most important areas the best adaptive leaders focus on to supercharge progress with others along for the ride?
Yeah, it's so interesting, Jeremy. You started that question about talking about under the skin of leaders, and then most of what you referred to was external. So respectfully, I'd like to take us back to that core, because the most important work really is internal. We've got to get ourselves ready for the tasks that are ahead of us, that are in front of us. And I think that really, for me, it begins with authenticity. It really begins with getting comfortable with who you are, being comfortable in your own skin, with your strengths. You know, we spend so much time judging and assessing to say, this person needs more of this and less of that, and he needs to do this and she needs to do that. We all have something that is really our power center, and we need to figure out what that is and not waste time and resources trying to step into a persona that doesn't have anything to do with who we are. It's very conspicuous when people don't show up as themselves, and it impacts their ability to develop a capacity for influence and really get people's buy-in in a meaningful way. What we need now more than ever is to close that gap and enable people to get to know us, to develop trust, and really give them what they need to stand next to us, and in many cases, so many cases, when we talk about leadership, line up behind us because they want to be there, not because of our title. We can't hide behind titles and positions anymore. It's got to be authentic, and those connections are only made when we're able to get people to engage in a meaningful way.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought me up on that, because you're absolutely right. Nothing changes without that mindset shift first, that understanding. It's like the courage of vulnerability, I'd call it, for some leaders, actually, to admit, you know, I'm not, and perhaps never was, the smartest person in the room. Things have changed right now, and I need to be myself. It's so obvious, isn't it, Brenda, when people wear a mask in business. Absolutely. And the impact that has on others.
Yeah, for sure. And we talk about getting to know others. And I have this conversation with clients a lot, Jeremy. I said they need to get to know you as well, even more so, even more important.
And maybe a brief follow-up on that then, Brenda, in terms of once they've got that kind of locked, that very important internal piece that you so rightly pointed out, what are the areas that then some of the best leaders do to really engage the rest of the organization or make progress down this road?
Do what you say you're going to do, all right? Walk in your values and really you know, take some risks. It's really frightening for a lot of people because they feel almost, you know, to some degree, they feel like they're exposed. Okay. So they really need to be willing to take that risk, I think, is the biggest thing, is the first step. Yeah.
Yes, good on it. Do it is the thing, isn't it? Is it?
Just do it. That's, yes.
That's easy to say, yeah, for sure. I really like how you position that, walking in your values. What a lovely phrase that is as well. And many leads, and I include myself into this, and I'm sure you've been through a similar journey, is that we're all of us as leaders are going through a very steep and ongoing learning curve right now. And we shouldn't fear that. We should embrace that and hold our hand up when we need help a little bit from that perspective. And absolutely, perhaps that is living our values.
Well, that is. And also, you know, it's interesting when we talk about, I'll say, interventions such as in some cases coaching and other forms of learning and development and things like that. I think that it's a time for people to really take advantage of whatever resources are available to them. A lot of times we feel that we failed or that we're in some way deficient if we ask for help, but none of us is able to do this alone, right? We need the perspectives of others. We need people who are willing to hold that mirror up for us, you know, to help us with the truth sometimes. And now is the time. Now is the time. You don't ever see an athlete go out onto a soccer field or a basketball court or whatever it is without conditioning and training. As leaders in business and industry, we need the same things.
So right. We seem to have forgotten what it was like for kids when we were learning sport, playing sport, a musical instrument, the exams that we had to, as soon as we walk through the corporate doors, it's like, oh, right. Okay. Thank you very much. That's right. I'm ready.
Right.
And I think one aspect of this would be very interesting to go into. And for those of you listening and watching in, we're actually recording this on International Women's Day. And while in my humble opinion, we shouldn't have one day for this, it should be an everyday matter. The obvious point is that it's a big challenge for leaders and some line managers to address workplace matters, opportunities, challenging, involving diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's very apt that in your book, Access Denied, Addressing Workplace Disparities and Discrimination, you present a series of stories that demonstrate some of the challenges that exist. So perhaps you can tell us more about how leaders and teams can become more action-orientated advocates rather than just vocal allies who really don't change behaviors and actions, so that they can promote, drive, and live a diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplace.
Yeah. You know, it goes back to what we touched on a few moments ago with regard to curiosity. All right. And really not assuming that everyone's experience is the same as your own. We grew up as children being told to follow the golden rule. And really what we need today is what is often referred to as the platinum. And that's really thinking about how others, you know, want to be treated and what works for your audience, the other people. And so I think that just being willing to ask questions and learn more and understand about, you know, what other people are experiencing, what their walk is, and more importantly, you know, what they bring, how they can contribute. There's so much value in casting a wider net when you talk about diversifying teams and you know, the opportunity for a broader perspective of ideas and things like that. So just really being willing to be open.
Yeah, it seems so obvious, doesn't it, Brenda? But to some, it seems so difficult. Why is it so difficult? Because you'll have come across many of these types of leaders and managers while researching and writing your book. So why is it so difficult for some of them?
I think it goes back to some fear. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a society where there are beliefs that, you know, if you get something, it's something that's taken away from me, and that's not typically the case, but a lot of people view it that way. People are uncomfortable with things that are unfamiliar with them, including people. All right. And so, you know, people gravitate toward and trust people that are like them, people that they recognize things, people that are familiar. And so when, you know, that there's an absence of familiarity, or there is just something that's different, it makes people uncomfortable. And I would argue that, you know, what's on the other side of that fear and discomfort is just tremendous opportunity.
It is. And when you consider the many companies who are now embracing diversity of thinking and hiring and retaining talent around that, who are specifically different thinkers to the model or the mode, whatever corporate culture is like, it's a really brave move, because it is at its very heart cultural how you change those things. And going back to something that you said before, is that it's the two things that have to happen, is that the leaders and managers driving it have to let their guard down and open their minds to it. Then they have to do it, right? And maybe I'm putting you on the spot for this, but were there any really good examples that you came across throughout your book or throughout in your day-to-day work where you say that company or that leader is doing something really different which others should take note of?
There are. I don't know that I can speak to them specifically, but just in general, what makes the difference is being willing to hold people accountable. Okay. Unfortunately, Jeremy, we're powerless to change hearts and minds. So people feel the way they'll feel, they'll believe what they're going to believe. And I'm not here to challenge anybody's values. But what I can say is that within an organization, it's important that everybody be treated equitably and that you do hold a space for a reasonable degree of, well, for inclusion. And the only way to do that is to hold people accountable. And so, yes, many organizations, many companies across a variety of sectors have embraced DE&I as a result of the events of the last few years. Some are just checking a box. Okay, some are, you know, are not really doing it for the right reasons. But the ones who are the organizations that are doing it right are embedding questions around diversity and inclusion in every aspect of their evaluation system and every aspect of their approach to marketing and public relations and things like that. So you can tell who's taking it seriously and who's not.
Yeah. And maybe before I come to the last question for you, what struck me as you were talking then is that, so this is important. And those organizations and leaders who are making that difference, they're visibly sort of seeing this difference. So what's the quantifiable sort of business case for this? Is it impacting the business? Is it impacting the attraction and retention of talent?
Certainly impacts the retention of talent and the attraction of talent. Whether or not it impacts the business, I think depends on the business, right, and the sector. But I would say that in so many cases, and there's a lot of research to support this, that companies do better when their staff and their employees reflect their client base and their customers. Okay. And I think that in some cases, consumers and purchasers of goods and services are becoming more intentional about doing the due diligence to understand who they're doing business with. Yeah, but it really does vary. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't agree more with that movement towards being purpose driven as one of your adaptive leadership strategies, as much as the DE&I and all of those other moving parts. It just shows you start to move some of these levers and the wider impact maybe hasn't been understood as well by some leaders, but it really does. And certainly in my experience too, I would concur with what you're saying there. And I'm absolutely sure those that are tuning in that want to accelerate in this area would love to hear from you, Brenda, 3 or 4 top tips to move the dial and make more rapid progress in adaptive leadership.
Yeah, so it really is, again, I don't mean to, you know, want this to sound like Groundhog Day, but it starts with being curious, being willing to ask questions. and you know, being willing to step away from this place of you know, having all the answers, bringing more people into the conversation. So, you know, a reflection of diversity, when you talk about collaborating with key stakeholders and partners, just making sure that there's diversity in that number so that you're hearing different perspectives and points of view. Being willing to avail yourself of experiences and learning opportunities that are new to you. Do something that's uncomfortable, maybe even that scares you a little bit, right? To really push the edges in terms of your own opportunities for growth and development. I'm going to get a lot of pushback for this, but that's okay. I can take it. You know, I have conversations with some of my contemporaries who have not been in an institution of higher learning for quite a long time, okay? And they're relying on things that they learned 25, 30 plus years ago. And that just has little relevance anymore. So if you're still in the game, then be in the game. Be committed to lifelong learning and just, you know, be willing to look toward the future and not rely so much on the past.
Yeah, be in the game. You're so right. It resonates with what you said there from my observations too. It's the difference between the 20th century leadership mindset and those who have transcended the millennium and moved into the more digital era, understood what digital era leadership is all about, and the rest that comes with that too. And as we both talked about before, there is room for the greatest hits for sure of leadership, but there's so much of the new out there. We have to embrace what you talked about here, that get that mindset right, be curious, involve others, get diverse perspectives, be a hungry learner, experiment and fail a bit, feel the fear and do it anyway, which I think Susan Jeff has captured as a quote. That's absolutely great. And I'm absolutely sure also, Brenda, that many of those tuning in today will want to continue the conversation, connect with you, talk more. So how did people get in touch with you? Where do they find out more?
Certainly. I'm on Instagram as Author B. Harrington, and at adaptiveleadershipstrategies.com, they can email me at bharrington@adaptiveleadershipstrategies.com or find me on LinkedIn.
Right. And where can people get hold of your book, Access Denied, Addressing Workplace Disparities and Discrimination, Brenda?
Thank you. The book has its own website, which is access-denied.net, but it is available at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, Books a Million, and wherever books are sold.
Right. Well, Brenda Harrington, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a great conversation and much food for thought for those leaders who need to embrace that more adaptive approach to their leadership and to their management. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Thanks for tuning in to the Rethink Leadership podcast with me, Jeremy Blaine. Please like, comment, and support us on your favorite platform and subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can watch as well as listen to each episode.